You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, courts have overturned voter ID laws in 5 states in the last 2 weeks. A political scientist tells us why we've seen so many rulings on election laws lately. First, we continue our summer music series set list. We invited artists from all over the Midwest into the WPR studios for interviews and exclusive musical performances. They're airing every Friday at this time until Labor Day weekend. Today we feature the Appleton band Tenement, who recently stopped by the WPR studio to play some songs, and they talked to Veronica Rickard about how unlikely influences from Duke Ellington to Charles Ives fit into creating the wall of sound rock songs they're aiming for.
Thank you so much for coming into the studio and playing today.
Yeah, no problem.
Well, I read this great quote of yours about how you use guitar when you're putting together your tracks. And you said you put it in like a brick wall of sound, like the glue that holds everything together. Can you talk a little bit more about how you use guitar and what that philosophy is?
Well, I guess it's kind of like the Ramones, you know. When you listen to an old Ramones record, it's like just a wall of sound just slaps you across the face, and that's kind of what we've based our sound off almost completely. I think I'm kind of like a dictator when it comes to putting together our music, and I'm really obsessed with like rhythm. And so I think when I mix our records, I mix the guitars so high because I'm like obsessed with making sure the rhythm sounds exactly how it should. So the guitar has become this really loud, abrasive thing, you know. I just feel like there should be a almost danceable rhythm to every song, even if it's not like, you know, if it doesn't sound like a club hit or something, but I mean, there should be like some distinct danceable rhythm to every song, whether it's like a heavy metal group or whatever.
Sense that eclectic is part of what you do, like you draw from a lot of different sources. I've read you reference Duke Ellington and that jazz improv kind of ethic, right? Too, do you use jazz as one of the templates that you draw from?
I don't know if I use jazz like consciously, but it's definitely something that has become a part of our music over time. The more we educate ourselves about music, and I feel like that's just kind of what our lives are based around, is learning about music. I think like our songs are a little more structured, less as far as when we like put them together, they're not so much improvised. I think improvisation was something that became a part of our live routine for a long time. It still is from time to time, but I'm really more like interested in like structure and like composition and like things like that, you know. I got into jazz through people like Duke Ellington and Charles Mingus, who used improvisation a lot, but they also were very into like writing these big composed pieces.
I've read that you said that your band is a stubborn, creative unit that does not conform to passing trends. Do you still feel that way about your band?
I think I do. I mean, we just kind of write the kind of music we want to write, and we've never, like, I don't feel like we've ever, like, been a part of a musical clique. And as a result, we've never really been, like, the hip band in the spotlight either. We've always just kind of been on a straight, linear line, like, all along, you know.
Then does that mean you have more freedom if you're not worried so much about, you know, whatever will sound poppy or will sell albums? Does it give you freedom to do what you want to do?
I think definitely, yeah. We aren't really concerned with, like, getting signed to a certain label or doing anything like that or pleasing certain people. So naturally, I think we feel free to do whatever we want to do.
Is that hard to buck off, though, those expectations of the music industry? Usually the dream is this is the one thing you do, you get paid a lot of money, right? And you get to live your life the way you want making music, so
it's definitely a struggle sometimes, especially when you're kind of broke most of the time, like I am. You think about, like, what you could do to make money, but ultimately, I've at least up to this point in my life, I haven't been able to do what it takes to please people in order to get money. We just always do what we want to do. It's just the bottom line, I guess.
And you have been successful. You
tour.
Yeah,
to a degree, yeah.
Do you feel like that validates what you're doing? Like, you know, I can do what I want to do.
Yeah, I mean, we're not big money makers, but, you know, we've been successful to a degree.
I also read that you first discovered punk, in particular, in high school, and it sounds like it was kind of this mind-blowing experience for you. Do you remember what it was like when you first cracked that door open?
Well, my brother bought me a Descendants CD. It was like Descendants Summary. It was the greatest hits of theirs, and I'd never heard anything like it. And for a long time, you know, it took me a long time for my ears to get used to it. It was kind of like when I first heard jazz music. It was like, I don't understand this. Like, I can't enjoy it, much less understand it. But, you know, once your ears kind of got used to it, it became like a life-defining thing. You know, you subscribe to it and, like, just you base your life around punk, you know.
You based your life around
Pretty
punk?
Pretty much. It became like a lifestyle in a way. You know, you kind of adapted the DIY punk lifestyle. I had a punk house for a long time. We would do shows, and we based Tenement around punk when we started. The whole idea of like doing like DIY tours and stuff was all because of bands like Black Flag and The Descendants and The Minutemen and bands like that. And so, you know, it definitely changed my life for sure, yeah.
And there is that strand in punk, which is like, this is not our world. We don't really belong here. You know, screw society. We're doing our own thing. And I heard some strands of that in one of your songs, Crop Circle Nation, the line, "We belong somewhere else."
Right.
Is that still part of it for you, that kind of outsider status?
I think that's why I'm interested in other kind of music at this point, like jazz and a lot of like classical and stuff like that, is because it takes me away from the world. Because I feel like the music I used to hear, I hear it everywhere now, and I'm just always searching for something that I've never heard before. So
what do you mean takes you away from the world?
Well, I mean, like, finding new music, it takes me away from the rest of the world, you know,
in a good way.
I can just kind of escape into it, you know.
So it's a good escape.
Oh yeah, definitely.
What is that like when you find that music and it becomes,
well, it's euphoric.
It almost sounds like it's a whole separate world that you can go live in for a while.
right,
like, does it feel like that?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Listening to Charles Ives, I got this Charles Ives record recently, and I've listened to it over and over again, and every time it takes me into a different world. I can just forget everything, you know.
What else have you been listening to like that? Charles Ives, you mentioned. What else?
Oh, man. That's a hard question. There's so much music out there. I don't know. I got this George Liberace record the other day. George Liberace goes Latin.
And wait, it's the piano player?
Right, yeah. And it's my first discovery of George Liberace, my first I was in this junk shop, and I saw the cover there, and I pulled the record out, and the record was on red wax, and I was just like, I just had this feeling. It was like a spiritual feeling, you know? It's just like, it's going to be important to me in some way. It's going to affect me in some way. So I bought it, you know? I don't know. It's like, maybe it will, maybe it won't. I don't know. George Liberace, whatever, but I find that, like, sometimes I'll discover these records, and it's, like, not necessarily even something that I'm usually interested in, but, like, it'll affect me down the road. I just get, like, this seriously spiritual feeling about records. It's, like, a very spiritual thing.
Really?
I don't know how to explain it.
No, you're doing a good job explaining it. I'm interested. So I also read Fiona Apple. Is that another one?
I love Fiona Apple, yes.
Is she, like, your Liberace experience?
I don't know, but I love her music. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
seem like you've got all these influences coming in. You're talking about jazz, you're talking about Liberace.
Right.
By the way, first mention of Liberace on set list. And you might be writing a song, and you might hear something that you got inspired by from Liberace. Or
right, yeah. That's a lot of stuff on the last Tenement double LP that was, you know, inspired by things like Martin Denny's Exotica LP or Duke Ellington or whatever, you know.
And so going back to your origins now, as we start to wrap up, the Beatles were really big for you when you first started, very first started getting into recording and playing music. How did that happen?
I was probably like 6 or 7 years old, and the Beatles anthologies were first coming out, like, what was that, like 1994, 1995 or something like that. And I'd go everywhere I'd go, the shopping malls, the record stores, everything, they would have these big life-size cutouts of the Beatles and stuff, and just, there was just something about it. It blew my mind, you know. I was watching these videos of the Beatles playing to thousands of people screaming, and it's like the classic romantic idea of the child getting into rock and roll, because it's just this alluring thing, you know. And I saw, like, that movie, That Thing You Do, you know, that was something I watched religiously when I was young, and I was like, I want to do that someday. And, I, you know, it didn't quite turn out like that, but it turned out all right.
Well, I was remembering reading some biographies of the Beatles, and it had to be John and Paul. Yeah, Paul, who said that they just listened to the radio and they knew we can do that.
Right.
That's our thing. They just kind of knew. Did you have that when you heard the Beatles? Did you think I can do that?
Probably, yeah. And, you know, I started a band with a few of my cousins. We were like 6 or 7 years old and we were just banging on pans, and like they had like a guitar that they found in their attic and a little Casio keyboard, and like, we thought we were the Beatles, and we believed we could be.
So. And now you, well, you, not the Beatles, but
and
you
And now
got
we're the Beatles.
You've got a successful career, though, touring.
Right, I guess, yeah.
So what's next for Tenement?
We're going to Finland, Sweden, Norway, and we're spending a few weeks there, and then we're coming home, and then we're doing a couple months around the U.S. and Canada. So that's it. That's in the immediate future. After that, I don't really know. We'll probably just keep making records and doing whatever, you know. It's just what we've always done, that linear, straight line, you know.
Amos, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was the Appleton band Tenement. You can catch them performing live August 12th at the Eau Claire Music Festival. Setlist Summer Music Series airs every Friday at this time through Labor Day weekend. Support for Setlist comes from Hyde Music. For more about the artists featured on Setlist, including songs and videos of their exclusive performances at our WPR studio, head over to wpr.org/setlist. Coming up, voter ID laws have been hot-button issues nationwide. A political scientist tells us why we've seen so many court rulings on election laws this summer. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. We'll be right back.